get started. Share screen. And is that the
Wait,
right
is it
one?
gonna work the first time?
We'll see. We haven't had much luck yet, have we? Ha! Did it again. Oh well. Anyway, so we're going to talk about worldview. Okay. Escape. It always works when I'm not with you guys. It really does, honestly. Okay. No. All right. There we go.
Hey Rob, is this going to be recorded?
Thank you. Yes.
I'm also recording it. If you go to my website, it'll be there. I'm going to do it by hand. Okay. So, we're talking about Christian and other worldviews. And, the situation in the U.S. now is not the same as when Ed Bigger was a teenager. You could go on campus, and pretty much anybody you talked to would already have some sort of faith in the Bible, the concept of inspiration, the idea that God speaks through written communication would be assumed. All right. But, as maybe exemplified by Pontius Pilate, when Jesus said, "I came to testify to the truth," Pontius Pilate said, "Well, what is truth?" Because we live in a postmodern world whose worldview doesn't even accept the very idea of truth itself. So there's a lot of issues that have come up, especially in the last 20 years or so. We've reached a point of what's called the post-Christian age. Our culture has been almost completely secularized. The very idea of morality is being questioned. The idea of God, those who accept that idea are often treated with ridicule. And especially, I think, the intellectual high ground, we've conceded that in many ways as believers. And, that was the situation in the first century church, that's for sure. So it's not like we can't work in that situation. But it does definitely affect how we interact with people, what kind of evangelism we need to do. So, for example, you're sharing your faith and you want to start on the Bible study series and do a study about discipleship. That language is completely foreign to so many people. So I believe in order to help people to become Christians, we need to consider having what we'd call a worldview discussion. So I'm going to ask you a question for thought here, but we're not going to get to this slide for about 15 or 20 more slides. And the question is, what is the Christian worldview? In 4 or 5 points, if you were to sort of bullet points, what is the Christian description of reality? That's probably a little bit harder question to answer than you think, because we're used to kind of talking in an echo chamber where we're talking to other believers and other Christians. So could you explain the basic fundamental underlying assumptions that Christians make about how the world works? So that's a little quiz. You can even write it down if you want what you come up with, and you can compare it to my little version that we'll have in a few slides. So there are a number of worldviews we interact with. I'm going to talk about naturalism or materialism. We're going to talk a bit about that worldview, which is the dominant worldview where I sit in my intellectual circle there in a physics and chemistry professor. And then there's postmodernism. That's the principal worldview on the other side of campus, which is most of the campus, in the psychology department, the history department, not the philosophy department, by the way. Philosophers do not like postmodernism at all. And then there's Eastern religion. There's the New Age, which is a part of Eastern religion, and Buddhism and Hinduism. And then there's the Muslim worldview. And so we're going to talk about different worldviews, okay? So what is a worldview? I want to suggest a nice, easy read, James Sire, The Universe Next Door, which is kind of develops the idea of a worldview. It gives a very brief defense of the Christian worldview and other worldviews. The worldview is the perspective one uses to process information, to process and interpret information received about the world. In other words, you see something, you observe something, what does it tell you? And the worldview you have tells you how to interpret the information that you see. All right, for example, you're late to work and suddenly the light turns green in 2 seconds instead of the usual 3 minutes. How do you interpret that? How does the postmodernist interpret that? How does the theist interpret that? James Sire's definition is a worldview is a set of presuppositions which we hold about the basic makeup of the world. Everybody has a worldview. Even if you don't know what your worldview is, you cannot help but have a worldview. The worldview is kind of like the glasses through which you take in information. Okay? Now, I'm going to critique various worldviews based on 3 questions. And this is my definition of what a good worldview is. A good worldview is one which is true. Now, what I mean by that is it's true in the sense that it is consistent with everything we know about reality. In other words, if you have a worldview which is in diametric opposition to reality, I would say that's a bad worldview. Somehow, to me, being wrong is not as good as being right, okay? Now, true is something we could debate on these worldviews, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Muslim worldview. Is it true? The Buddhist worldview, is it true? Second parameter I want us to consider is, does it successfully answer the questions that people really care about? And we'll look at that on the next slide. And then the third one is, would it make those who accept this as their worldview a better person than they otherwise would have been? Now you might think, well, that's really subjective. I believe that is not nearly as subjective as you think. I believe you could put an atheist, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Christian, and whatever, in a room and ask them to come up with a list of 5 points. What makes for a good person? And I think they would come to consensus pretty easily. All right? And, you know, those list of things like compassion, rationality, these kinds of things, honesty. And so the question is, looking at this worldview, the naturalist worldview, postmodern worldview, the Eastern worldview, whatever, can we reasonably conclude that those who hold to this worldview would be good in that sense? Again, that might sound like, how could you do that? But as we go through these different worldviews, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, let's talk about question number 2. Does it answer in a satisfactory way the basic questions that people really care about? What are those questions? One of those questions is, who am I? What are we? What is our nature? What happens after we die? What's our purpose? What's our place in the universe? What's our value? And what's the right thing to do? And what is the nature of ultimate reality? These are the questions that people really care about. So you could ask, how well does Hinduism answer this question? How well does postmodernism answer these questions? Got it? So we're going to start with materialism or naturalism, which is the belief that the only reliable or valid instrument for deciding what is true or even the value of any proposition is the scientific method. All right, a couple of statements of this would be from Richard Lewontin. He said, we exist as material beings in a material world, all of whose phenomena are the consequences of material relationships amongst material entities. In a word, the public needs to accept materialism. By the way, materialism is not greedy, money-grubbing people. These are people who believe that only physical things are real. There is no ultimate reality beyond the physical reality. Got it? He says, in a word, the public needs to accept materialism, which means they must put God in the trash can of history where such myths belong. Another statement of materialism is that of Richard Dawkins, who wrote The God Delusion. He said, in a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, others are going to get lucky. You won't find any rhyme or reason to it, nor any justice. This, by the way, this is a great summary of materialism. Richard Dawkins is one of the most honest people you're going to meet. By the way, a good friend of mine who's also an atheist, he's a friend of Dawkins. We've had some interesting conversations. But anyway, the universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. DNA neither knows nor cares. It just is, and we dance to its music. Now, either this is true or it's not true. And either this answers the questions that people really care about or it doesn't. And either we can reasonably conclude this would make us a good person or it wouldn't. All right, now, if it's true, it's certainly depressing, right? Look at that statement. That's pretty depressing. But if it's true, too bad, man. But, you know, buck up, you know, get on the reality train. All right, so let's analyze this worldview. Now, I'm going to claim, and I'm going to show why I believe this in the next 5 minutes or so, that it amounts to a form of faith, a belief which is based not on evidence, but on circular reasoning. In other words, the people believe in this worldview is because they believe in this worldview, not because the evidence points in this direction. Number two, I believe that it, it sucks at answering the questions that people really care about. In other words, it's really bad at it. And number three, it does not make us better people. In fact, I believe it is a dangerous worldview towards almost everything we care about. The fact that most materialists are pretty reasonable people is because they've hijacked the Christian worldview. So I'm going to talk about why I believe those things are correct statements. I was watching a BBC show a few years ago, and they got basically a theist and an atheist on. And what you had was a panel, and the panel would ask the person questions. It's kind of like, you know, theism on the line and atheism on the line. They brought the atheist up there. He was so confident. He's like, I'm going to blow these guys away. Man, I'm telling you. So they started out with a question, and they asked him to make an opening statement. And basically what he said is what that other slide said, which is the only things are real are things that we can measure. If we can't observe it or measure it, it is not real. Then somebody in the panel asked him the question, well, how do you know that? He said, what do you mean, how do I know that? I mean, look at Christianity. Look at the Crusades and all these fundamentalists. And look at these religious people, all the damage they've done, blah, blah, blah. And the panelists interrupted him and said, sir, I asked you a question. I asked you, how do you know that? Blah, 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 you know, Islam, blah, blah, blah. And then they stopped him a second time and they said, sir, we asked you a question. If you won't answer the question, then we're going to bring in the next person and you're out of here, basically. So he said, well, I guess it's just because I believe it. Got that, folks? The reason he believes in it is because he believes in it. And the thing is, atheists and materialists, they don't realize the basis of their belief, which is simply because they believe it. And I believe all the evidence points to this being not true. Okay? And I'm going to talk about that, but I'm going to get to question number two. Now, I teach a philosophy of science class, and I do a whole section on science and religion. And so we kind of do, here's what science is, here's what religion is. I can't push Christianity, just talk about religion in general and science in general. And I put up this list of questions that science is awesome at answering. I believe science is the best means to answer these questions that has been ever discovered by human beings. These questions. When did that happen? What is that thing? Where is it? How many are there? And by what means does this function? Then I asked my class, do you care about those questions? Do you really care about when and where and how many? Nobody cares about those questions. All right, here are the questions we care about. Why am I here? Does science answer that question? Well, let's go back to Dawkins. All right, blind accident. Wow, that's so awesome. All right, let me see. Is that the right thing to do? Materialism is utterly useless. Because if materialism is true, there is no right and wrong. There is literally no right and no wrong. Okay? How valuable am I? Well, probably about $5.30. You got some calcium, you got some iron, you got some copper, you know, some carbon, that's not worth very much. I mean, value, what? Science cannot even measure value. What is my purpose? Well, according to materialism, if you have a purpose, it is this. It's to create as many copies of your DNA as possible. If there's any purpose at all, it's to make copies of yourself and reproduce your DNA. Think about the moral implications if that is the only purpose we have. The things you could justify doing. So science is terrible. It's completely useless at answering these questions. Now, let me tell you a few reasons why I believe this materialist view is simply wrong. If the materialist view is correct, then you don't exist. Okay, what do I mean by that? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Which is it? I am a body or I have a body? Which is it, folks? I am a body or I have a body? This is me or this is my hand? Okay, the answer is I have a body. But the scientist says, no, you don't. What are you? All we are is neurotransmitters and electrical signals and random chemicals that bump into each other. You do not exist. When you say, I want to go to the store, that's a meaningless statement according to naturalism. Because naturalism also believes in determinism. It believes you have no free will, no choice. All right, and by the way, if materialism is true, don't tell your husband or wife that I love you. What you should instead say is, I neurotransmitter you. I neuropattern you. Because really, love is literally a meaningless word in this worldview. All right, and if this worldview is true, then life has no value. But I disagree with that. That is false. I believe life has great value. And if this worldview is true, then it is not wrong to rape somebody. And it is not wrong to lie. In fact, there's nothing that is wrong. I believe this worldview is absolutely false. So it's not true. It doesn't answer the questions that we care about. If the materialist is right, then art, literature, and music have no intrinsic value. Justice is a meaningless word, and materialists should stop saying you shouldn't do that, because what's that mean? And by the way, if the materialist is right, then human rights have no basis, no fundamental basis, because we can't say we hold these truths to be self-evident, because things are only evident according to measurement. All right? Materialism is patently false because the universe was created. Because life was created, and because no one in their right mind can accept the idea that there is no such thing as moral right and wrong. Does it make us better than we otherwise would be? Because if we believe in naturalism, then there's no good and evil, which means no action is inherently wrong. And it means our purpose involves something that's very disturbing, which means make as many copies of your DNA as possible. Any kind of sexual behavior is right. Racism and slavery can be defended. No wonder intellectuals in the mid-20th century said, to modernism, and then they accepted a new worldview, which is not much better, which is postmodernism. So let's talk about postmodernism for a few seconds here. Postmodernism, the idea that truth, if such a thing exists, is the property of culture. All right, so in other words, it's true for you, but it's not true for me. All truth is relative. And truth, if it exists at all, is created by those who hold on to it. So if enough people don't believe in gravity, then it's not true. And if not enough people believe that genocide is a good thing, then by definition, genocide is a good thing. There is no moral authority. Bottom line, there is no truth. I remember a few years ago, I was in Stockholm. I was giving a talk on the existence of God. And I said, just in the process of this conversation, I said, you know, some things are just plain wrong. Whether people agree with it or not, it's just wrong. And this one woman almost fell out of her chair. Because Sweden is about the most postmodern society you can imagine. The only sin in Sweden is to call something a sin. And I went and talked to her during the break, and she was having trouble breathing. She was so upset that I had the nerve to say that some things are just plain not true. By the way, a lot of Christians criticize postmodernism in ways they shouldn't. Because the bottom line, as a means to do history, as a means to talk about culture and art, postmodernism is actually pretty awesome. The postmodern view of music and art is a lot better than the modern view, which is terrible at those things. Postmodernism gives honor to culture. It acknowledges that the Western perspective is not the only perspective. There's a lot of good things about postmodernism in an anthropology class, in a sociology class, but as a worldview, it's very confusing. It's essentially the worldview that says there is no one worldview. The idea that truth for all practical purposes is not even a meaningful word. It's true for you, but it's not true for me. There's no rational way to discover what is the best worldview. There's problems. Number one, it's not true. It's self-refuting. You say to the postmodernists, absolutely nothing is absolutely true. Are you absolutely true that absolutely nothing is absolutely true? How about the claim that absolutely nothing is absolutely true? Hopefully you got the joke there. All right, because if the postmodernism is true, then postmodernism is not true. I don't know. That's a problem. Besides, some things are just true. Okay, we could debate it, but I'm about to let go of my clicker. It's not working tonight anyway, so I might as well let go of it, right? All right. Now, let's say all 42 of you don't believe it's going to drop. Well, too bad. And by the way, I don't believe science is the answer to everything, but science tells us that electrons exist. And you could say if enough people believe in it, it makes it exist, but otherwise it doesn't. Besides, if postmodernism is true, the hero is a bad person. The social revolutionary, but what they're saying is these people are all wrong. We need to replace that truth with a better truth. So that means somebody like Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King or Jesus, they're kind of the anti-hero because they're calling people to change their worldview. All right, I have to move on from postmodernism because, oh my goodness, but I've got to talk about the Eastern worldview. And by the way, I have to talk about the Christian worldview. Whew. So postmodern worldview does not agree with reality, and I believe it is dangerous. And it doesn't answer the important questions. In fact, it's terrible at answering questions. It says, what's your value? This person says this, that person says that. Which is true? I don't know. Can't tell. Which is the better culture, the Nazi culture or the Christian culture? Well, you know, actually, it's probably to have both is better than to have just one, because the more culture, the better. Why prefer one moral system to another? postmodernism says it's better to have as many moral systems as possible, and then ultimately we can kind of pick and choose. All right, not so good. Now, I don't know if you wrote down your version of the Christian worldview. All right, but what I want to do is I want to hold the Christian worldview up to the question whether it's true. In other words, whether it's consistent with reality, whether it answers the questions that everybody cares about. You already have that list. And number three, whether we can reasonably predict that it would make a better person. I believe on all three levels, the Christian worldview trounces every other worldview without even a close rival. Okay, so what is the Christian worldview? The Christian worldview says the physical world is real, which, by the way, would agree with naturalism. It was created, which, by the way, naturalism also agrees with, and it's also good. How good? Very good. Genesis 1, is it 36? Also, the Christian worldview says there's a physical reality and there's a spiritual reality. And number three, God is the creator both of the physical reality and the spiritual reality. Number four, human beings are both physical and spiritual. We are both. Number five, the physical world, although it is good, and although everything that was created was good, nevertheless, evil exists. The reason evil exists is because God gave human beings free will. God loved us so much that his highest creation that he created in his own image, because he loved them and he wanted them to love him, love gives a choice. And therefore God gave a choice. That's why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is right there in the garden. Because if the choice wasn't a real choice, then it wouldn't be a choice. We rebelled. We brought evil into the world. By the way, every single point of the Christian worldview is made by the time you get to the end of Genesis chapter 2. In fact, if Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is true, then postmodernism is not true, materialism is not true, pantheism is not true, dualism is not true, deism is not true. If Genesis 1 and 2 are true, which we have to discuss, then all other worldviews are repudiated, at least in terms of the first point in my analysis. Point number six, there is a definite right and wrong for human behavior, and that is determined by God. And by the way, I would add point seven, which is the solution to number five and six, is found in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, is it true? Well, first of all, I believe the universe is in fact real. And I believe, and I would defend to anybody in any level of debate, that all of creation is good. It is morally good. It is good in every possible definition of word good. I also believe that evil is real and that it exists. And if you don't believe so, let's just have a discussion about what's going on in Congo or, in the Pol Pot regime, and we could go on. And by the way, despite what the naturalists would say, I believe that I do exist, that I am not merely chemicals, that I'm a moral being with a spiritual nature. And also, I believe that the Christian worldview is true because everything in the Christian worldview is consistent with what I know from science. Unlike the Eastern worldview, which we'll see, is completely inconsistent. The Eastern cosmology is wrong. It is wrong. Christian cosmology, created from nothing and good, is correct. It is true. Okay, I believe the Christian worldview answers the questions about purpose and meaning and value and source and final result in beautiful, incredibly amazing ways. How did I get here? I was created by God. Why am I here? In order to know God, for God to know me, and for us to love one another. Where am I going? To an eternal place. Other questions, other philosophical questions, like, why is it that human beings can understand the world? It's an amazing fact. Why is it that human beings can understand the world? I believe no other worldview really answers that question very well. Another question is, why does anything exist at all? I believe the Christian worldview has the best answer to that question. Why is there pain and suffering in the world? What about the nature of evil? We could talk about postmodernism. We could talk about dualism, pantheism. None of these worldviews answer the question of evil. They're very bad at answering that question. I'll explain some of that in the next 10 minutes or so. Okay, Christianity offers solutions to the big problem, the problem of sin, the problem of suffering, the problem of death. By the way, in terms of being a good worldview, the only reason we even have science is the direct result of the Christian worldview. It would take me a few minutes to explain that, but I believe if it were not for Christianity, we would not have science. And by the way, I believe historically it's a fact that if it were not for Christianity, slavery would be a world system throughout almost the entire world today. The idea of human rights, the idea of women's rights, all of those directly go back not to postmodernism, not to materialism, certainly not to the Muslim worldview or to the Eastern worldview. All of them we have only because of the Christian worldview. And I would defend that in any debate. By the way, if you go to a Buddhist country, who does most of the benevolent work in Buddhist countries? Christians. Who does most of the benevolent work in Hindu countries? Christians. Who does most of the benevolent work in Muslim countries? Muslims. Got to talk about that. I believe the Islamic worldview is superior to all others other than the Christian worldview. All right, I might get in trouble for saying that. All right, but I'm just saying. Okay, so we've talked about naturalism, postmodernism, and theism. I want to spend just a little bit of time on pantheism. I don't have time to discuss deism or dualism. But I do want to talk about the Eastern worldview, which is, you know, arguably the Islamic worldview, the Eastern worldview, the postmodern worldview, the naturalist worldview, and the Christian worldview. Those are the main ones you're going to interact with in your American life. Okay, got it? So I want to talk a little bit about the Eastern worldview. By the way, like I said, if Genesis 1:1 is true, then all these other worldviews are simply not true. And you cannot say, well, you know, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, they're all different paths at the same place. That is a meaningless, foolish statement. I don't have time to talk about Acts 17. But in Acts 17, Paul defends the Christian worldview against the Stoic worldview and the Epicurean worldview. And well, actually, I'm going to talk about that for just a second. What he does, he finds a point of common ground. You have common ground with the postmodernist. Talk about art and history and the fact that postmodernism has really improved the understanding of certain subjects in a beautiful way. Rather than calling them all a bunch of, you know, secularist enemies of Christianity, right, find a point of contact. Paul does that in Acts 17 by saying, I see all these idols. What a bunch of nonsense. There's even an idol to an unknown God. By the way, the Epicureans and Stoics are like, yeah, that's right. And then he says, but I want to tell you about a better worldview. I want to tell you about a God in whom we live and move and have our being, instead of this distant, unknown, and unknowable God. All right, so he explains a better worldview. And he doesn't go into Jesus in the Bible right away because they wouldn't know. And then he quotes an Epicurean and he quotes a Stoic. He understood their worldview in some ways as well, if not better than they did. Okay, that's a great outline right there. That's a half hour talk right there. Let's talk about Hinduism and Buddhism. Hindu worldview, Maya. The physical world is an illusion. Physical things are ultimately not even real. When we die, our souls are reabsorbed. We lose our personal identity. The goal, if there is any, is endless cycles of renewal and rebirth. And ultimately, the ultimate goal of Hinduism is to no longer exist, to dissolve into the infinite. Yippee skippy for that, right? What a great purpose to no longer exist. The Hindu worldview has human beings looking inward, not outward, inward. That's why Christians do the majority of the benevolent works in India. By the way, there's some wonderful, amazing, loving, caring, passionate, compassionate Hindus. And I don't mean to put down Hindus in general. I'm talking about their worldview, not them individually. Is it true? Well, according to his Hindu cosmology, the universe is eternal. And it goes through, you know, that whole cosmic wheel thing, right? Creation, sustension, destruction. Krishna, Shiva, and Vishnu, you know, cycles of creation and sustaining and destruction. Well, that's all nice, well, and good, but it's not true. It is not true. There is one universe. That universe was created, and it's the only one, and it's definitely not going through cycles of creation and destruction. The bottom line is Hinduism is wrong, and I'd rather be right than wrong. I don't know about you. Does it answer the important questions? It says that you and I are ultimately not real. And physical things are not good. Really, they're bad. Well, I don't agree with any of those things. Okay. And so, again, I don't believe it provides better answers. By the way, remember those list of questions? Hinduism does a better job on those questions than postmodernism. Hinduism does a better job of answering those questions than materialism. But what is the nature of evil? According to the pantheism, evil is not even real. Okay, if you say so. Suffering is not real. Evil is not real. No wonder Christians do more solving of issues of suffering than Hindus. If you think something's not real, there's not much motivation to do much about it. Buddhism, it's very similar. It's an Eastern worldview. You've got the Four Noble Truths of Siddhartha. I like suffering is not getting what you want, causes suffering is desire. Bottom line is the goal of Buddhism is dispassion and disconnection. Whereas the Christian goal is connection and compassion. I say connection and compassion, yes. Dispassion and disconnection, not good. The way to end desire is to end suffering is to end desire. That's not true. If we don't have compassion, how can we end suffering? I don't agree with that. By the way, the Eightfold Path, right viewpoint, right value, right speech, those are pretty good stuff. Almost everything I know about Buddha I like. Oh, other than the fact that he abandoned his wife and family. But other than that, I'm serious. I kind of like Buddha. But his worldview is not true, and it does not do a good job of answering the questions. And no, a person who is dispassionate and disconnected is not a better person. Got it? All right. Is Buddhism, well, okay, physical world is an illusion, and it's not good. Suffering is an illusion. Cyclic cosmology. The goal is to lose oneself. Oneself has no inherent value. Okay, problematic worldview, in my opinion. Is it a good one? Is the world an illusion? Does it answer the questions we care about? All right, I don't think so. Okay, what about the Muslim worldview? I already said, I might have gotten you a little bit mad at me or a little bit upset or whatever. when I said of all the worldviews that are out there, I would say if I had to have a second best, if I had to, it'd be the Muslim worldview. And because the Muslim worldview is theistic, it proposes that the universe was created. It accepts that good and evil are real. In fact, if you go through the Christian worldview, you might check off about 75% of that Christian worldview, interestingly. You know, the way it works is, you know, in the world, the person who's most like you is the one you're most prone to hate. You know, the Palestinians and the Jews, they're at each other's throat. You know what I'm saying? And so it's interesting that the worldview that we tend to have the most negative view of as Christians, I think, is the one that's closest to ours. Food for thought. Food for thought. All right, but I still say we can do a worldview comparison. And I believe the Muslim worldview falls short in some very important ways. First of all, it has this idea that there's two different levels of sin. There's really, really bad sin, and then there's not so bad sin. And by the way, notice on the not so bad sin, deceit, lying, lust, prostitution. Okay, in the Muslim worldview, we acquire a relationship with God through our own effort. In the Muslim worldview, God is very distant and unknowable. In the Christian worldview, God is love. In the Muslim worldview, God is mercy. And I've had this discussion with Muslims, and they concede this is a correct way to make a distinction. Which is better, love or mercy? So in the Muslim worldview, we earn grace, we earn favor, we earn salvation, we earn paradise. Because in all human created religions, we reach up to God. We are striving towards God. The only exception to that is the Christian worldview. Okay? In Islam, salvation is earned through the efforts of those who are pre-selected by God. By the way, Islam is very deterministic. It's very much a matter of fate. There's the idea of inshallah, God wills it. Allah, in Christianity, salvation is granted by the grace of a loving God to those who, through faith and repentance and baptism, got to throw in that baptism there, accept that love, okay? So who reaches out to whom? Excuse the picture on the left there, you know. But that's in the Sistine Chapel. It's a Catholic thing, so it's okay, actually. Okay, the bottom line is Michelangelo has it right. And you have to understand, this is, in a sense, a picture of the Christian worldview. God reaching down. God became man so that man could become like God. No human being would ever invent a religion like this. Okay, work salvation, all other religions, except Judaism and Christianity. And I put the Judaism not in the work salvation, and I firmly believe that. But nevertheless, okay. All right. So is Islam a good worldview? Is it true? Well, was Muhammad, in fact, a prophet, as it claims? A guy who had 15 wives, who massacred a bunch of people, who developed the doctrine of abrogation, so if he says something different, that cancels out what he said before because it wasn't true. All right, we could talk about that. I would say the Muslim worldview is far closer to true than the other ones, other than Christianity. Does it make one better? What is the motivation to help others? By the way, in Islam, one of the five pillars is almsgiving. And we should give credit. We should give credit where credit is due. Okay? But in Islam, it is against their religion to use those alms for somebody who's not a Muslim. Now, if you ask a Muslim, they'll say, that's not true. Well, yes, it is true. Because what they say is, until all the needs of Muslims are met, then these alms cannot be used for a non-Muslim. So when are we going to meet all the needs of Muslims? Like never. Okay? What about the emphasis of jihad? What about the respect for women and for human rights? I would say it's not a better worldview. So in summary, at 6:50, the theologies of world religions are fundamentally and diametrically opposed to one another. The worldview of Christianity is radically different. It's true. It answers the questions we care about, and it makes us a better person, hands down. All right, so I really have to go. I'm going to be 1 minute late to my meeting, and I got to do another midweek. Hopefully that was helpful, and hopefully that'll generate some discussion. See you sometime soon. But I got to go right away. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, great.